Midwest Guys presents Gotham Watch.
Yay, Gotham!
Tell Sal it's over. The guns are bought. The killing room is waiting. He doesn't know it, but he's a dead man. On second thought, I'll tell him myself.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Gotham Watch. Today we'll be reviewing This Ball of Mud and Meanness. With me today is Mr. Ryan Eggenbauer.
Hello, hello.
And my brother Aaron's back.
Hey, how's it going, man?
How's it going, dude? Another special appearance. Awesome. All right, guys, so we've got a lot to talk about here tonight, so let's get into it. So on this episode, we see Hugo Strange, who we like, releasing the Penguin after some very strenuous rehab.
Yeah, this is probably, I wouldn't call it rehab, more so. Penguin refers to it as torture, and that's definitely what it is.
It's kind of a Clockwork Orange kind of messing with his mind sort of thing.
Very much so.
Although, kind of like you have a little visual goggle thing.
Yeah, although I don't think they were actually portraying any images to him, but he was seeing.
Yeah, he was hallucinating.
Like when he was sitting at his mansion.
Yeah,
and he was sitting at the table, and his mom was there trying. And
then you just see an evil version of him.
He walks up behind her with hits a baseball bat. And it's like ooh,
yeah, some deep moments there.
Yeah, right? It kind of implies off screen that the other version of him is just wailing at the back of his mother's head.
Yeah,
yeah. So all his love for his mother, and there's a part of him that wants to kill her the whole time. So, my question to you guys is, after he gets released, you think he's faking? I kind of get the feeling he might. I don't know.
No, I actually think there is some sort of, like, kind of programming thing that kind of mellowed him out for a little bit. I think it might kind of reverse after he's out in the wild for a bit, though. Like, after he has a couple people run into him, try to beat the shit out and try to kill him, some survival mechanism is going to kick back in, and you just see him switch right back.
What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there's actually... I don't know if it's going to be an interaction, but I think there's a trigger word.
Something like breaks him out of it or something.
Oh, like you make him like a Manchurian candidate kind of thing where he's just like, Red Sun.
Yeah. Like I really think because Hugo said he's part of the bigger picture.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be one of those, you know, all of a sudden he says, you know, purple goose. And all of a sudden he just goes
off. Shit.
He goes nuts. I mean, he goes back to his old ways and just.
Yeah. So he might be using him as an assassin or some other...
Well, either that or he could have implanted, like, certain pre-programmed suggestions, like, rather than just reverting right back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's definitely some serious brainwashing going on.
Oh, definitely.
Now, whether he's strong enough to withstand that or fake it or not, I don't know. There's still part of me that just thinks maybe, ever so slightly, he's still is able to survive it and is faking
like
it to get out.
He's just playing Hugo Strange to his advantage.
Yeah, I think he might be smarter than Hugo thinks. Maybe.
Well, I mean,
maybe.
There's a difference between being smart and being susceptible to, you know, that sort of mind control programming sort of thing. Like, I think there's a definite will factor there, and definitely just kind of a mental sanity kind of foundation that has to be there in order to kind of endure that.
You know, and it does make me wonder, now that I think about it a little bit further, just kind of going off script a little bit, but I wonder if they're going to use this to kind of redefine Penguin maybe a little bit, because so far... Robert Lord Taylor does a really good job of playing the psychotic version of Penguin and a little bit of the seductive side, but we haven't really seen like the high society version of Penguin yet. So maybe
I mean, it could be. I mean, because you saw the preview of the next one.
His dad.
And his dad's there, and they seem like they're all hoity-toity, you know, like with all like dressed up and stuff, and he's like, no, you're a part of my family or whatever, you know, like,
right.
So maybe that's
I wasn't quite sure from the previews whether that was like something that's just in his head, like a memory sort of backflash, or whether that's like events going forward.
I think it might be events going forward.
Yeah, at least that's the way I thought of it. But it could be a flashback, Aaron. I didn't think about that.
Well, I mean, if you look at his mother throughout the first season, she clearly had that kind of came from wealth sort of mentality and was clearly trying to be more dignified than her, you know, social. Wealth indicated, or her wealth indicated.
Well, I think it was. I think they said that he kicked her out.
No, so she went crazy after being.
Yeah, I think his. Yeah, I think his father kicked them out.
Oh, okay.
And he went to live with her.
So is that like he's the illegitimate son, sort of thing, or just like the?
No, I just think he was
disliked one.
Well, I just think it was she got custody of him or something and took him with her.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe stole him even. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, she's kind of nuts herself.
Yeah, she was. She actually did that role really well, too.
She does that in every movie, though.
Yeah, she always plays the crazy one.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember her from anything else, so.
Yeah, I've even seen her on Letterman. Now, whether she was staying in character at the time for Scrooged or not, I don't know, but she was crazy on Letterman, too.
Yeah.
Too, so, I don't know. But speaking of one kind of high society to another, Alfred, we get to see another militant Alfred returns in when they go to the Mutant Fight Club to find Matches Malone.
Oh, where he gets to fight Cupcake.
Where he fights Cupcake, yes. A big, giant African-American.
Well, you know, what I think is funny is that we keep talking about this militant
Alfred,
mm-hmm. and, you know, he doesn't seem like he's that good.
Like he keeps ending up in the hospital.
He keeps ending up in the hospital, so he couldn't have been that good. Like, right, so he gets stabbed, goes to the hospital, gets beat up now, goes in the hospital.
Yeah, he ends up in the hospital every other episode at this point.
But to
so was he the joke of the MI6?
Or was
there a reason he left?
Or is he doing it on purpose? Because the whole time he's talking to Bruce about how to beat the guy.
But he was trying to...
He's taking punches while he's trying to talk to Wayne.
Right, he was showing him how to do it, but it was one of those things like... He even made the guy tap out.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they said he had... Okay, well, this is where you need to go get the stuff. And he's like, okay.
And he passes out.
And he passed out. Yeah. So it's like one of those, like...
Well, maybe he was better in his day. He's older now. Maybe he's not up, you know, up to form.
He's a little too rusty.
So he's not the militant?
Well, he was, but we're seeing the 60-year-old version of the militant Alfred, maybe.
I guess.
I don't
just
know.
Just think of it as like a Korean War grandpa just trying to... go in and kick ass every day. Sometimes he ends up in the hospital.
Well, you know, and he is trying. He was trying to teach him a lesson on top of it. So yeah. I mean, maybe
a little distracted.
Could have won a little quicker. Maybe I don't know. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of the militant Alfred, we did hear rumors this week. Kind of going a little off track here with Gotham, but we did hear of a possible spinoff called Pennyworth, because DC Comics has reserved the name. Is that correct? The copyright?
I think they actually have an artist and everything. The comic's coming out. I think it's a mini series of comics.
Oh, is it a comic that they're releasing? Yeah. I thought they were actually got the thing for like a show title or something like that.
I thought it was a comics that was coming out. It was like a six comic spinoff or something. Okay.
But I thought, like you, Aaron, I thought I'd heard something about a possible show. We just didn't
hear it. Well, no, I did hear the show, too.
Yeah.
But I think that they're doing the comic to give you a backstory for the show.
For the show itself.
They've been doing that for a lot of properties lately. Yeah. Like, we've seen that with Star Wars a lot, and we've seen that with, like, some of the DC's other shows.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys think of the militant Alfred in a Pennyworth spinoff?
As long as he doesn't spend the whole season in the hospital.
I think it seems like if you're going to do that, you would definitely go with the more prequel route to it. And definitely with writers have really seemed to like the more military-style Alfred. Like, some would go with MI6 or military. And I think that's definitely the route you would want to take with it, rather than just, like, him being the butler to Thomas Wayne or anything like that.
Yeah,
my thought is it's going to be the half-half, right? So you're going to have him and a buddy in his old age sitting down telling stories, and then we'll do a flashback, kind of how like they did the young Indiana Jones.
Well, that could be. I could see that.
Like, so they show the previous adventures.
Okay, maybe, so it's just him reminiscing over.
Yeah,
like,
or maybe
Bruce
even
or something.
Him sitting down talking to Bruce about it. Maybe even
it could be that, or it could just be that's how the show starts, like the series starts, and then it's just completely
goes off on its own
with the other actor and everything else. Because I really find it hard to believe that they would have the whole show devoted to just a butler.
No, the thing is, you make him more than a butler. That's clearly the goal they've been going for a while.
Right, but he can't be more than a butler now.
Well,
because there's not enough room for him to have his own back.
Well, at the same time, if you look at how they're portraying Alfred, like in modern comics and film adaptations, he's almost his own, like, Robin. Like, he's almost like a Batman sidekick at certain point.
Well,
or his assist, or whatever you want to refer to him as.
My guess here is they're going to take the 007 approach. Like, not only is he going to be MI6 and militant, but I think you're going to see him go undercover. Maybe this is how he learns how to become a butler, too. That's where he learns how to become a butler.
He didn't just go to butlering school.
No, maybe. No, I'm serious. And he has to work undercover for...
So he...
If it's a Pennyworth backstory
show. So it's the James Bond butler school.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Mm. Or a...
Either that or it's just...
Multiple undercover roles, not just a butler, but the butler would be one of them.
So... Quantum Leap, and he's just going to be like...
No, but you have different missions, different scenarios, blah, blah, blah.
This week on Pennyworth, he gets to drive the ice cream truck.
This week he works at the donut shop.
Oh, boy.
That would be the Quantum Leap thing, by the way. So, I don't know. So, yeah, so there you go. There's a possible spinoff happening. But, all right, so let's get back on track with Gotham here.
Okay.
We saw Nygma and Gordon. After Leslie gives Gordon the evidence that, Miss Kringle, his former love interest, who he killed.
That's right. He goes on like a paranoid little rant in his head.
Yeah.
Because he thinks that Gordon's playing with him.
Yeah.
Like, he thinks that Gordon already knows.
Yeah, and Gordon's just clearly just like, I'm just doing this just to, you know.
Just to appease her.
Yeah. And then he's going on a little rant like, oh, you think you have me?
Yeah.
But I will have you.
Yeah, he's like... So that's
how you want to play it.
Yeah, it's like, okay. And Gordon's just like, yeah, I mean, I'll look into it when I can. And he's like, oh, you're trying to just lull me into a false sense of security there. And
totally making him bigger than he actually
is. Yeah, like he's building up in his head. Like, and you clearly see like that kind of clearly crazy side of Nygma where he's just... building up this giant fantasy.
Yeah.
And he's like, and you have your games and I have mine. And then we see him write a giant green question mark over his head.
The first time we see the question mark.
Yeah, it almost seems like he's just kind of building it up to the point where he's going to give himself away just in trying to prevent it.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. It just depends how far is he going to take it, though. Is he going to... How devious and how twisted is he going to go with this?
You know? Kind of welcome to my labyrinth.
Yeah, exactly. Is this how we start to see the riddles and we start to see the, you know...
I mean, we've already seen the riddles.
Right, but I mean, well, like, incorporated into his, you know, his madness, so to speak.
Like into his plots to kill people sort of thing.
Other than it being a little
either too... Either that or too, you reinvent Riddler as something like the Saul villain.
Something like that, yeah. I mean, other than being a little too early... I mean, we're only in season two to see this, but...
Well, yeah, but if we're talking about Gotham as a whole, you can make the argument a lot of villains are going full-fledged from the get-go.
But other than it being a little early, I think it's brilliant. I think it's a great way to bring
it. Gotham portrays villains really well. It's just, it's weird in how it works with the Batman timeline.
Right, but still, I was just kind of like, wow, okay, that's a really good way. Like you said, because I was thinking kind of like you, like a Saul villain or...
Yeah, like where he like puts them into traps and
games and yeah. That. Yeah, that
would... Yeah, it'd be an interesting take on him. I actually would really enjoy that. Because you can really do that sort of storyline with him. And it wouldn't be particularly big budget. It wouldn't be that fancy or like really that complex. You just have to make it interesting.
Yeah, exactly. So definitely. What do you think, Brian?
No, man, I'm right on board with you.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just one of those things. Like, I just kind of just dismissed it as it happened because we've been seeing it happen.
Yeah,
progressively and progressively. Like he started out giving himself a riddle. Mm-hmm. He's like, "I'll give you a hand if you blah blah blah." And he's like, oh, "I cut off her hand. Where did I put it?"
Yeah,
you know, it's like, "What?"
Yeah, like he has that weird kind of personality split, mm-hmm. And then they've kind of. I think Nygma is one of the few examples here where they've actually been kind of taking the slow route with like their villain development. Like everyone else, they've been kind of there from the get-go.
Yeah.
Nygma's the
gas pedal down to the floor.
Yeah, like Nygma's the real exception to that, where they've really kind of built him up a lot more slowly.
Yeah, and I mean him and Penguin, but they're in the show pretty much every episode. They're regular characters. So.
Well, yeah, but I mean with Penguin, he kind of had like the more sidekicky role in the first season, but he really took up steam really quickly.
Oh yeah, definitely. So we also see, in this episode, we see Tank Girl, a.k.a. Joker Girl, a.k.a. her name actually being Jerry in the episode, who helps Bruce find matches. What did you guys think? We talked about this, I think, earlier. Maybe it was even offline.
They released stills of it, and we were thinking we were freaking it was going to be like their Jerome replacement sort of thing. And really what you see is just more or less her being a lead singer of a club that is kind of almost idolizing the Jerome character, or at the very least taking it to heart.
Yeah, the whole Joker persona. I mean, even the stuff flashing on the...
It was like his old video footage they released during like some of the previous episodes.
Yeah, so it was like Joker footage, and it was everybody in there kind of it was like you said, Brian, the Joker gang, like the we're seeing the beginning of it, maybe like the Joker group or cult.
Yeah, like you have either like a cult or like the Joker like gang you had like in Batman Beyond sort of thing.
And I was kind of relieved though, because I was thinking, oh man, they're gonna replace, like, that whole replacement thing was in the back of my head, and then I saw how they did it, and I was like, no,
That's cool. I was really impressed with how they actually handled the character. Like, they had her as kind of just a side character that was kind of just running that entire club, and it actually worked pretty well.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, and she actually gives up the information to Bruce about matches.
Yeah, well, after fucking with him a little bit, but yeah.
She's like, yeah, he's my friend.
Yeah,
and then she did the whole Joker persona thing, and she's like, "You're pointing at me wrong. If you're going to point it at me, point it right at my head." And she puts her head right up against the gun.
It definitely took some things, but I think with pretty much every Joker hint, the show's kind of laid out from the comedian in season one to Jerome to this, they've always kind of been taking elements to kind of just mess with people.
So it's
definitely a theme of the show. And I thought there was kind of an interesting bit there when she was talking about he'll be happy to see you, and it doesn't really make that much sense until you actually get to the matches and Bruce Wayne scene.
Right, and so let's talk about that. So Bruce gets to matches, finds matches, they have a very interesting conversation, and then Bruce takes the gun out, ready to shoot him, and decides not to. Kind of walks away.
Matches, on the other hand, seem kind of relieved to have someone finally coming to look after him and like deal with him after years of just getting away with killing people.
I don't know if that I'm almost tempted is if when I was watching it was one of those things I'm kind of torn. It was almost like he has cancer and he's dying anyway,
so he just wanted a quick death.
Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it was like he still is taking orders from somebody. Mm-hmm. So he was glad somebody was there to kill him because he didn't want to do it anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm. He'd done so much evil, so much crap.
So it was one of those, like, I don't know which way I'm leaning on this, because he never really says.
Yeah, he always kind of hints at things, or he, kind of goes on tangents where he's, making jokes about, why his motivations are. And like, you don't even really know if he was hired or if he just, saw a rich couple in the alley one day.
Yeah, and he's like, $5 for adult males, $10 for females, $50 for kids, but I don't kill babies.
Yeah. It's like I have a line.
Yeah. But I don't
really? That's my line.
But I don't kill babies.
Once they're past two, they're on their own.
Yeah. Like, it's like, I guess that's like the buffet question when you go like Golden Corral and stuff, like, excuse me, are you five and under?
Yeah.
Because you eat for free that way. So like, as when you're growing up, your mom and dad are like, hey, even when you're seven, they're like, you're under five.
So once you reach this age, I can kill you. It was interesting. I liked the conversation. I liked the drama.
It had a nice tension to it.
Yeah. It kept my interest, and it was nice to see, Bruce go through the trial of the situation. You do have
that kind of moral dilemma for him that it's kind of been hitting at for the last episode or so.
And it plays into the Batman, persona that Batman doesn't kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not that much.
Yeah. Anyway. Not intentionally.
Not intentionally.
Batman doesn't kill that many people.
He just runs them over from time to time. Yeah, exactly. If they die, they die.
What are you talking about? He's just sleeping. Sorry. And that's a reference to something else. Anyway.
Just a college humor video, I think.
Yeah. So after the altercation, we hear Bruce walks away, and Gordon pass him in the hallway, and then you hear the gun go off because Bruce leaves it and matches offs himself. But of course, before he does, he doesn't tell who paid him to kill the Waynes. So my question to you guys is, was this good for the series? to finally reveal who killed the parents and not reveal who paid him? Was that too soon? Not enough? Was it too much of a, you know, a big moment to give away for what happens?
Well, I think it was the it was perfect for the storyline the way it needed to happen, because what that's going to do now, Bruce knows that somebody did pay him.
Yeah.
So now it's going to be, it's not Gordon looking for the killers of his parents. Mm-hmm. Now it's going to be Bruce Wayne or Batman looking for who paid to have his parents murdered.
Well, exactly. It really does do that really well. So, plus, it's not like Gordon was really making progress
either. But it takes Gordon off of the hook of trying to find out who killed his parents.
Oh, yeah. Again, it definitely allows you to go into the more Wayne Enterprise corruption sort of angle.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Bruce was kind of going with anyway.
We'll probably see Lucius Fox more.
Which I'm happy to. I like that character in the movie, and I'd like to see more of him in the series. It also leads into our last point for tonight, and that is we see Bruce go off after all this happens. He finally decides that he has to go off and learn how to live on his own in Gotham with Selina, to see the underworld, to live in the underworld, to exist, thrive.
Kind of understand Gotham from the roots.
In order to beat the evil, he has to know what the evil is.
Right. Yeah.
How the evil acts.
I mean, you listen to his conversation with Matches, and that clearly seems like that almost inspired in some ways, where he's talking about like what he had to do to get by and things like that, and how him, you know, growing up in that, you know, rich environment, really, he wouldn't understand.
Well, that's what they said. He, you know, when Matches was talking, was, Gotham created me.
Mm-hmm.
I killed your parents, so I created you.
Yeah.
I actually think
that this show is doing really well is it's capturing kind of the ecosystem that is Gotham and Batman and all the villains. Like, it all kind of plays into each other.
Right. And it goes back to the old thing, you know, the old question that we've all had is, who made who? Did Batman make Joker? Did Joker make Batman?
Yeah. Right. It's a nice tie into the 1989 movie. I thought the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's increasingly been a large part of, you know, Batman's character, where it's the entire thing that makes, you know, Batman interesting. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, like, if it's just the character himself, he's just kind of a Zorro reboot. But once you actually kind of bring Gotham and all the villains into it, it really makes it a much more interesting character, and it's all, you know, it's all pretty dynamic in that way.
And it makes that without Gotham, there is no Batman, there is no supervillains.
Mm-hmm. But then you have the question, is did Batman create some of the villains, or is that just a product of Gotham as well? And I mean, with this show, it's clearly going with the villains are a product of Gotham as well, but...
Right, I was getting ready to say, this
with this interpretation, it's clearly going that route.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, I think we covered it pretty well, guys, so let's just get right to your final thoughts. You have the first final thought, sir.
I thought this was a pretty good episode. Probably B range, kind of in terms of grading. Like, it really kind of played into Batman's moral dilemma in terms of how he wants to deal with killers and villains, and it definitely played into his development as a character, while also kind of showcasing Enigma and, you know, his kind of growth. And overall, I think it actually did a pretty good job.
Oh, cool. I'm going to give it a B as well. I thought it was a good episode. I was actually just maybe... The only reason I didn't give it an A is I was a little let down. I thought they could have used the whole who killed the Wayne parents in a little bit better way. I mean, I like how they used it at the end, how he goes off to live in the underworld and become Batman.
Would you prefer it if they'd developed more into like the corporate espionage thing like earlier or like within the episode?
I would have liked them to develop who killed the Waynes first as the climax to this season, unless they have something better planned, which is possible. But I think that would have been better served as the season, or not, yeah, this season finale. And then tie that into next season 3, with the, you know, the corruption and who paid him and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Had a little bit bigger payoff, but maybe they have something better off down the road, that we're seeing this so early in the second half of the season. You know, season 2,
or they're setting up for the third season.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I thought it was pretty good, and it could be that they were trying to get a season three, because we just found out that it was renewed for a season three this week. So, yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Other than that, otherwise it was a great episode. I love the tease of the Riddler. That was awesome. And Hugo and Penguin's dynamic is interesting, and I would like to see what plans Hugo has for Penguin, if any.
Yeah.
So, Brian, what's your final thought?
Let's see. My final thought and grade. I'm going to give it a C.
Okay.
Maybe even a C-.
Oh, okay.
Not a memorable episode for you?
No. No, I mean, as evident when we got over here, and I was like, what the hell was the episode about again? I just... Some like you said, Brian, the use of the knowing who killed his parents, but we did nothing with it.
Yeah, it kind of felt that way to me.
I really think that... You know, and actually, while we were just sitting here talking about it, I was still trying to think about who possibly could have paid him off. I actually think it might have been the whole Dumas side. And that's why we're going to see that come back into play with the guy in the cryotube. But for me, this episode, we need to stay with Freeze.
It, it did deviate from that pretty heavily, didn't it?
Yeah,
he wasn't even in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, we needed to stay with that angle with the whole like Hugo Strange. I mean, we could have seen the Hugo Strange working with the Penguin like we saw. Mm. That was fine. But we needed to see the Hugo Strange working with Freeze on how to bring the people back. Well, that's what we needed in this episode. We didn't need Wayne talking to matches.
Either that or at least reference them.
Or going and fighting Cupcake.
You're not a fan of the Cupcake fight scene?
No, I mean, I just...
Just yeah. Alfred going to the hospital again.
I mean, they even joked...
Just broke his
head. They even joked about it when Westmacall answered the phone and he was like, again?
Yeah.
Like, it was like, So, I mean, this episode, like in the beginning of the season, was like the low part of the roller coaster. So I'm hoping next week picks back up. I think in the preview for next week, we see that the commish, whatever his name is.
The captain.
Captain, whatever his name is, by calling the commish, because he was on the show, the commish.
Right.
We see that he's going to reopen the case against Gordon.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? I don't understand.
It seems rather early for it, doesn't
it?
That was just like an episode ago where that just got...
It got squashed. Everybody's story collaborated, and everything else happened, and there was no need to do anything, and all of a sudden, now the preview for the next episode is, well, I know there must be something wrong, so I'm going to reopen the case. Why would you do that against one of your best guys? But whatever.
Yeah. We'll see. Hopefully it is better. Like I said, hopefully they got something huge at the end of the series. I don't know. We'll see. Alright, so where can you find 4 Midwest Guys? Well, you can reach us on Facebook.com/4MidwestGuys. You can also reach us on iTunes. Just search 4 Midwest Guys. You can find us on Stitcher the same way. OneCast, just about any other app out there. If we're not on an app that you have, please let me know, and I will do my best to get us on there immediately. Also, Twitter. We continue Twitter Quest 2016. We're up over 700 on the main account.
751.
Excellent. Thank you for following us, by the way, out there, folks. We appreciate that. And Mr. Ankenbauer, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me at AnkZone. That's AnkZone. And I'm up to 1,623.
Wow.
Seems like just a little bit ago, I was at 100.
Well, we had... Two.
It just has
two.
A doubling effect after a while. Like, once you reach a certain threshold, then it just booms.
I mean, that's what it feels like. So, I mean, I'm getting a lot of retweets from stuff we post, and a lot of the people are liking the podcast that we post, so.
Yep. Cool. Thank you for the retweets, thank you for the positive feedback, and please let that continue. We want to hear back from you. So, and one more avenue that you can reach us is email, which is 4MidwestGuys@gmail.com as well. So reach out to us. Let us know. A big thank you to everybody on Twitter, and continue to support us. And we're nothing but humble, and we thank you. All right. Well, Aaron, thanks for joining us, sir.
Yeah, not a problem, man.
All right, and Mr. Ankenbauer, as always.
Yep. Good to be here.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.